Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Reducing income inequality was a prime rallying cry for the Occupy movement. And nowhere may that be more appropriate than right here in Massachusetts, where a new report finds that the gap between the state's highest and lowest earners may be larger than the nation as a whole. That's according to this year's annual State of Working Massachusetts report from the nonprofit Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. The center's president is Noah Berger. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's good to be here.
So, Noah, the report finds that the wage gap between the top 20% of earners in Massachusetts and the bottom 20% has grown to nearly $10 an hour, if not more. First of all, how does that compare to the rest of the nation?
The gap in Massachusetts is higher than the gap in the rest of the nation, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed. The good news, though, which might point to a solution, is that the trend we've seen, the reason why incomes are departing more in Massachusetts, is not that folks in the middle or bottom are doing worse in Massachusetts than the rest of the country. It's that our wages at the top are actually growing faster than the rest of the country.
Okay, so hold that thought, because I do want to explore that in a little bit of detail. But let me first ask you, how has this wage gap in Massachusetts changed over time? Is it grown worse over time?
Yes, the wage gap nationally has grown significantly worse over time, and in Massachusetts, even more so.
So you say that part of the problem, or part of the reason why, which is the good news bound up in this bad news, is that educational attainment in Massachusetts is higher than on average in the rest of the country?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, in Massachusetts, about 44% of our workforce has a four-year college degree, which is the highest in the country. And there's a good news story there. In fact, if you turn back the clock to about 30 years ago, the late 1970s, we were at that time a fairly depressed, declining industrial state, as were many other states in the country. Over those subsequent 30 years, Massachusetts has done a good job reinventing itself. We went from having below average wages by a little bit overall to among some of the highest wages in the country. And a lot of that was tied to becoming the best educated state in the country, as I said, with 44% of the population with a college degree. The problem is that that means that more than half of our workforce doesn't
have a
college degree. So we've made progress. We've shown that by improving public education and improving the quality of our workforce, you can raise wages. But there are a whole lot of people who have not yet benefited from that. And I think that's a lot of the challenge going forward.
So in an ideal scenario, which we're not in, but in an ideal scenario, even with the increased educational attainment of those college degree earners, wages should have risen across the board regardless of educational status. But that hasn't necessarily happened. I mean, that's what's driving this gap, is it not? What's happened at the bottom 20%?
Right. The situation here is much like the rest of the country. We've had fairly stagnant wages for the bottom 20% of the population. And frankly, over the last decade, for really the middle 50% of the population have seen very little wage growth nationally, and it's a very similar story in Massachusetts.
And when adjusted for inflation and cost of living, you may even see negative wage growth in real terms.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And in fact, if you look at the minimum wage, for example, back in 1968, a minimum wage worker would make $20,000 a year working full time. Today, if you work full time at the minimum wage, you make $16,000 a year because our minimum wage levels have dropped over that period of time. So we've had a time nationally over the last decade, was a lost decade, that ended in a recession that made things much worse. At the state level, over the long period, there is both a good story and a bad story. The good news story is that ability to have more of our workforce better educated, to be able to raise wages at the high end and to some degree in the middle significantly more than the nation. But anything below that, we've seen a similar pattern to the rest of the country, which is really not much progress over a fairly long period of time.
Well, in fact, that pattern of similarity extends to what fields of employment have been hit disproportionately hard when it comes to unemployment and job losses. I mean, the state's current unemployment rate is just about 7%. The nation's at 8.6. Massachusetts, throughout this recession, has been doing better, if you can consider 7% better overall, than the nation. But those losses are not spread evenly from sector to sector in the Bay State.
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, there are some sectors which both in Massachusetts and nationally have been hit particularly hard. Construction is one, which makes a lot of sense because we had the housing bubble burst, so a lot less building of new housing, and also manufacturing. And manufacturing has also been somewhat of a long-term story. That is, both Massachusetts and America have been losing manufacturing jobs for a long time.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about that then. So, I mean, because you said a little earlier that part of this is a success story in Massachusetts' ability to attract and grow a sector of better educated workers, many of whom whose previous generations' parents may have worked in the same factories that were here. So is that part of the solution to continue this path of increasing the percentage of college educated workers in the state?
Yeah, I think that's true. Manufacturing is an interesting sector because we are both losing jobs. There are manufacturing jobs, as people know, are going overseas. But also manufacturing is becoming more and more technologically advanced. So even the manufacturing jobs of the future very often require at least a two-year, if not a four-year degree. And there actually are jobs out there for which there are there's a need. The manufacturers looking for well-educated workers to hire. And that's a need that the state should make a public policy priority of trying to fill.
As a reality check, though, not all of the college degree holders in Massachusetts are doing well. Many of them are employed, but severely underemployed.
Yeah, that's true. We see that here in Massachusetts and elsewhere. And I think part of that is what's driving part of the Occupy movement, is this sense that people who have gone pretty deeply in debt in order to get a college degree are not getting the kinds of jobs that they hoped for. I think part of that is cyclical. That is, we have what is the worst recession since the Great Depression, and it's affecting people of all income levels. And that's really a national challenge to begin creating jobs and turn that around.
So Noah Berger, in the last minute or so that we have, let's talk solutions. As you said, the income gap in Massachusetts is higher than in the rest of the nation, but largely driven because a more educated workforce is earning more. The top 20% are earning more than the bottom 20%. That leads us to the prime solution that you've recommended in this report, which is raising the minimum wage in the state.
I think there are two things. One, for folks in the bottom sort of fifth of the workforce, raising the minimum wage is the one thing that over the last decade has increased wages. And those are people who probably don't have an advanced degree but are working hard, often full-time, and are trying to support their families in many cases, and giving them a decent floor is important. Secondly is expanding educational opportunity to make sure that kids born in any neighborhood have the chance to get a good education and get those higher wages.
Well, the current minimum wage in Massachusetts is $8 an hour. Federal minimum wage is $7.25. Yeah. So we've got a 75-cent difference there. The state of Washington just increased its minimum wage to $9.04, the first state to achieve a $9 minimum wage. Does it have to go that high in Massachusetts or even higher to make a marked difference in this wage gap issue?
Well, adjusting for inflation, in 1968, the minimum wage was $10 an hour. And I think that it would take a significant change in the minimum wage to have a significant effect. But each time the state has raised the minimum wage, we've seen wages go up for workers, both at that level and somewhat above, because a lot of wage scales are tied to the minimum wage.
And you're concerned about the potential negative impacts on the economy? There's always the fear of job loss with an increased minimum wage.
Yeah, I think a lot of the recent research is showing one of the best things the state can do to strengthen the economy is to put more money into the pockets of low-income working people, which raising the minimum wage does, and that gets the economy moving with a little bit more spending. It's not going to have a huge effect. The largest effect it will have is on the wages of those folks who are directly affected by it.
Noah Berger is the president of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. You can find a link to their complete report on the state of working Massachusetts at radioboston.org. Noah Berger, thanks so much.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Stay with us. Up next, designing a good New Year's resolution and what your resolutions say about you. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Resolve to join us in 1 minute. This is Radio Boston.